This meeting of the City of Kingston Zoning Board of Appeals will now come to order. It is 6:05 p.m. My name is Tony Arkalevich, and I will be chairing this proceeding. I will take a moment to explain how the Zoning Board of Appeals functions. The board is comprised of 5 members and 2 alternates. We have been appointed to serve the citizens of the City of Kingston. We perform this service to the best of our abilities on a voluntary, unpaid basis. The other board members are, please introduce yourselves. Ari.
Ari Goldstein, alternate.
Mary Newbauer.
John Bonavita Goldman.
Brian, you want to introduce yourself, Brian?
Yes, Brian Cafferty.
Owen Harvey, alternate.
Okay.
They were off.
Okay. All right. So we have Brian, John, Mary, myself, 4. We need to have a voting member. I believe it's Ari's time to turn the vote. Okay. So you'll be voting. So we've got Brian, John, Mary. Okay, there will be a period for public comment this evening after each variance request has been presented. This period is an opportunity for individuals to make a statement of opinion, not to engage in debate. Each speaker must state their name and address for the record. Speakers must be brief and to the point to allow everyone a chance to speak. Speakers must address the board as a whole, not individual members, and not other speakers or audience members. Professional demeanor is expected. Okay, everyone received the, all board members received the October 10th, 2019 minutes. I want to make some corrections to them. On page 2, where it says Tony, it says what kind of triangle and how far in do we want to go, and the verbiage on the minutes is, I hope a perpendicular triangle, I don't know what a perpendicular triangle is, will be allowed. The correct should be, my statement was, I hope a perpendicular corner will not be allowed. I will give these changes to Eric. Down below, Tony, I disagree. When looking to the right, you have greater visibility, which you don't have making a left. It isn't making a left. It's looking left. So it should read, I disagree. When looking to the right, you have greater visibility, which you don't have looking left. I respect the fact you want to be consistent. So the change is looking left. And then with Steve, I checked with Steve, his comment on when John says, what's the difference from across the street fence? The way it's written is because you're trying to make a left-hand turn, not a right-hand turn. If you make a left-hand turn on a red light, you're going to get a ticket. So it should read, because you're trying to look left to make a right-hand turn. I'll give these changes to Eric. So with that being said, do I have a motion to approve the amended October 10, 2019 minutes?
Motion.
John? Second? Ari? All in favor? Aye. Opposed? Nay. No nays. So that's passed. John? Ari seconded. So we've got 5-0 approved. Okay. On the agenda. First order on the agenda is Michael Mariello, attorney for 127 Greenkill Avenue, LLC. 127 Greenkill Avenue, Zone R2, Ward 4, tax parcel 56.109-2-32. The applicant is seeking a use variance from Chapter 405-12 for a community center. Community center is not listed as a use by right in the R2 zone, and hence we have a use variance request, an application, and also a site map. And Mr. Moriello, would you come up, please? Mr. Zell, you can join him. Would be in the definition in the beginning of the book. I could check in the book. You have the book here. You want to check in the beginning. Yep.
What's the address, 187?
127, Greenkill. Okay, good evening.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and good evening
please,
to the board.
Could you please state both your names?
I'm Michael Moriello. I'm the attorney for the applicants, 127 Greenkill, LLC.
And I'm Chris Zell from Vernier and Larios, and I prepared the site plan.
Okay, thank you. Now, we have a cover letter dated November 20th, 2019, signed by Mr. Moriello. I try not to correct attorneys on the whole, but I believe you meant in paragraph 3 from the bottom, it's within the R2 zoning district, not the C2 zoning district?
Yes, you're correct.
Okay.
And I don't mind being corrected. That's okay.
I try not to. So the letter indicates my client is the new owner of the former Du Bois residence situated at 127 Greenkill Avenue, Kingston, New York, and the use variance application being pursued is so that my client may provide for a community center within the city of Kingston. Okay, well, you have the application. We have a signature, authorized signature from the owner, stipulating that the owner's knowledge and approval to make the application for use on his or her property is okay?
Yeah.
I think it was Metzger?
That's correct.
It's Cassandra Metzger. Okay. We have, as I said in my introduction, the use by right for community center is not allowed. Maybe you could elaborate, Mr. Moriel, a little bit about what this community center will be. I had an opportunity to drive by today. It's a nice brick house, a big yard. It's right next to the Boys and Girls Club.
Correct.
And is this community center going to be tied into the Boys and Girls Club, or is it going to be separate?
Well, let me just explain too, Mr. Chairman. We, Chris and I, thought that our clients were going to be here tonight because we wanted them to explain what their vision for the community center was, but they're not here. I don't know what happened to them. But at any rate, from my understanding of it, 127 Greenkill Avenue LLC is a philanthropic arm of a larger organization that wants to do a community center, if you will, right next door to, as you said, the Boys and Girls Club. Across the street, this would be permitted. The zoning across the street permits the use, but looking at the application and looking at the zoning petition itself, we thought that, especially since this is a philanthropic use, the use variance would probably fit better going forward. I have not done the balancing analysis that's required under the use variance criteria yet. As the board knows,
you read my mind.
Yeah, as the board knows, the Kingstonian, I did submit one in for that, but I haven't done one for the use variance for this project yet. And part of that is because I don't have a complete understanding of what they're doing either. But I will say this. There's no, and Chris can elaborate on this, there's no site plan per se associated with the project. They intend on fixing up the house and operating out of the house. They're not going to add on to it. They're not going to make any additions to it. They're going to have to provide room for parking naturally, and that in the end may trigger site plan. I don't believe that. I think that they have enough parking now, but Chris can also walk you through the layout of the property. They have, their intention is to only really make interior repairs to the building and cosmetic enhancements outside the building. Chris, I don't know if you want to.
Yeah, it's my understanding that the building will remain the way it is now. Cosmetically, they will repair things that need to be repaired, but there are no additions, no demolition, nothing to the outside of the building and inside, just restoring the inside of the building. So its outward appearance will be the same as it is now. With the possible exception of maybe some additional parking, but otherwise, it'll just be a renovation of the existing building as it is.
I just want to see if anybody else has any questions, but you're correct. Does the board have any questions? Really, we don't have, as you know, we don't have a complete application. We don't have the criteria for use variance filled in and for the application, which would be necessary. Of course, the biggest criteria on a use variance is a financial hardship, lack of a reasonable return, because this is R2, single family dwelling can be, or, two-family, so you're going to have to show why that could not be utilized as such with a reasonable return. It sounds like it's a very good concept, a nice concept for a community center right next to the Boys and Girls Club, but that does not eliminate the process we have to go through. I'm sure you understand that we have to go through to meet the criteria for use variances. You've been before us enough times that you know what we have to consider. So, at this point, does anyone else have any questions at all about this? Go ahead.
I'm just going to say what I said to you, and that is I just think that Chris, Mike, we don't have the applicant here. We don't have a complete application.
Correct.
I just think that the best thing to do at this point is just table it and then reconvene everybody here next month so that we can hear the whole thing all at one time.
I agree 100%.
I second that.
Yes.
It does.
Okay.
Yes.
I agree also.
But we have some questions.
I have another question for you, John.
For me? Okay.
my question is how do you figure a reasonable return when it's, how do you figure reasonable return when it's a philanthropic institution?
Well, the reasonable return, it has to be shown that there can, based on the current uses by right, why that building cannot be used for those uses by right. Why does it have to be used as a community center? This is a little more complex than a usual use variance, because this is, I'm assuming, going to be a not-for-profit community center, so there's really no monies that are being gained, but we need to still, to the extent that we can, meet our legal obligation for criteria of a use variance, which is a reasonable return financial hardship. On why can't this continue to be? I'm assuming it was a single family or maybe a two family, because it's allowable. So there still has to be some effort made to show, I would guess, if not financial, and I'm not giving away any secrets, if not financial, why the area would benefit more and the owner would benefit more by operating it as a community center rather than a single or a family residence or a double or
my family. only My only question with that is
it's
that
not as cut and dry as our usual use right. variances.
And the assumption there is that they're forced not because of problems with the finances. It's almost they're forced to make it a community center, which doesn't make any sense.
No, they desire to make it a community.
Correct.
They desire to make it a community center, and that's where it becomes a little more unusual. So.
Yeah, we're going to have to, we're certainly, I agree, board members, we're going to have to massage that part of the analysis because really the lack of reasonable return is self-imposed.
Self-created.
Yeah, right. Addressed.
Which is one of the criteria is self-created, but...
But this is self-created, turned around almost.
Exactly. It should be a benefit to the community, and
right.
and
this is kind of like a different spin because
it's reversed.
The reasonable return, they don't want a reasonable return.
That's correct.
They want to operate a
not-for-profit,
which is very altruistic. So that's what we're going. We will leave that up to your minds how you're going to present that to us. Okay.
Do you know whether there are any comparable instances in New York State?
I don't know. I've never had one quite like this. And I've done, as the board probably knows, I've done a lot of use variances over the years. I've never had one where it's, like you said, almost the opposite of of the analysis.
One consideration will be I travel that street. When I go visit somebody down in Wilbur Avenue in the assisted living, and that house has been on the market for quite a period of time, hasn't it? So, I mean, that's a consideration that it hasn't sold, it isn't selling, it's in need of repair, obviously, or there's other reasons why it hasn't sold.
Well, it did get sold.
Yeah, but
somebody else hasn't been sold. It's been sold to your client who has a community center in mind to do it. So I don't know if that enters into the argument or not, but just a general comment that.
Yes, we'll definitely look into all the criteria. So.
Yeah. All right, any other questions?
What was the name of the organization?
127 Greenkill Avenue, LLC.
Right. And what was the name of is it the Boys and Girls Club that is the entity?
It's not affiliated with the Boys and Girls Club.
Right.
And as far as the parent organization, I'm not sure. And that's why I kind of wanted them here to let you know. We'll have that information at the next meeting. The outfit that owns the property is 127 Greenkill Ave, LLC. That's a philanthropic arm of a parent organization. So,
okay. Well, this is to be continued. It should be very interesting the next time we meet. But we make our decisions at the end of the meeting, and all likelihood, this will be tabled until the next meeting. You don't have to stick around for it. Although I think you're on the next.
Yes. I have to stick around.
Tony, may I just ask one more question?
Sure, go ahead.
I apologize. The only thing I wanted to ask was the owner, and you may not be able to answer this question, but are they aware that because you buy a property, you don't necessarily inherit the rights or the uses of the adjacent properties?
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, they're aware of that.
I don't know. I'm not following that question. That's a new one for me.
just that because it's next to a community center like the Boys and Girls Club doesn't mean that they then can inherit those rights as well.
That's why they're here.
Exactly.
Because they know they can't inherit. They have
wanted to make sure when they purchased that they understood that.
That's why they're here, Ron.
Correct.
Okay. All right. Let's move on, please. To the next agenda item.
Chris is going to stay.
Yeah, I just...
He's just having so much fun.
Where's my agenda? You didn't take my agenda, did you?
You're only going to go the early morning.
I have the minutes. I don't have my agenda. Oh, here it is. It's right on the top here. I don't know why it's clipped on there, but it's clipped.
Yeah, I think so.
All right.
I think there's only two things.
Okay, next is old business. Michael Mariello, attorney for Kingstonian Development, LLC, 9-21 North Front Street. And 51 Schwenk Drive, Kingston, New York, Zone C2/partial Mixed-Use Overlay District, Ward 2. The applicant has submitted a letter. It's in your packet, dated November 26th, 2019, indicating there's an area variance addendum. We had a presentation previously on the Kingstonian. This is an area variance addendum and request to be on the board. The applicant has submitted an addendum to the previous area variances that were presented at the October 10, 2019 ZBA meeting. Landscaping, parking, setbacks, flood zone. Before we move forward on this, is this is going to be this is going to be before us for a while. I'd like to just make sure of the citing of the sections of the zoning to make sure we're on the same page on this. Because I had some questions before you make your presentation. The first is, in your letter, landscaping, zoning law section 405-40A-2, which if board members could also help me with this. I believe that is accurate. I want to make sure these sightings are accurate so that we're not... Okay, 40A, the landscape strip shall be provided. And number two. Landscape strips shall be provided along all property lines of multifamily non-residential uses. That's the section you're going to seek a variance.
Correct. On.
Okay. The next is setbacks, which is footnote number 11 for the C in the lot and bulk requirements in the back. And that's footnote 11, which in C2.
What are you talking about now?
The back in the lot and bulk for setbacks, the lot and bulk requirement.
The density control schedule?
Yes. Yeah. Footnote number 11, no side or rear yard is required, but if provided, they must be at least 6 feet. And if a rear yard is contiguous to a residential district, it must be at least 10 feet in the C2. That's the section that you're looking for a variance.
Correct. That's correct.
All right. The next one is, as far as I'm concerned, going to be the most complex. And that's the stair towers within the flood zone. Zoning law section 405-26D. In my book, 26D is definitions, and there's an alphabetical list.
Area shallow flooding.
So which particular flooding part hazard of 26D are you seeking an variance from? There's about 10 different definitions here.
The area variance that we need is for the stair towers themselves, which are located, technically located in the flood zone. They're not in the floodway, but they're in the flood zone. That's what needs the variance. Now, the reason that I may have, and I think that other section that's there should...
We'll get to that.
Should be that. I've referred to the definition section because we may need to go to the definitions
asking for a variance of all the definitions.
Yeah,
including variance.
Yeah.
So you're requesting, by stating it that way, you're requesting a variance from all those definitions, and you're requesting a variance from the meaning of variance.
Yeah, hold on one second.
I don't think that's what he intends.
That's the way it's written. That's why.
So would it be the area of special flood hazard that you're referring to?
Correct.
So I thought.
So specifically, 26D is the area of special flood hazard. Well, that, since we're talking about that, what zone is this in? Do you know?
Well,
it's like about six different zones listed here.
This is in, it's in the flood zone itself under your zoning law. So that's where we went to get the variance criteria, because there
area, what zoning is it under? Is it C2?
No, zone A, AE, AH, AO, A99, like there's 8 different, 10 different.
That I don't know, Mr. Chairman.
Okay, I think we need... That's important to know.
Okay.
Because there's very specific regulations depending on the zone that it's in, the flood zone that it's in. And there's allegedly a map somewhere.
Yes.
That lists these areas.
The FEMA maps have those.
So we need to know what specific area it is, because this particular section of zoning is very complex. It refers to particular zones of flooding, regulations, local administrator. So we need.
Chris will get that. He'll have that for me, right, Chris?
So yeah. The particular section of 405.
But I don't want to say that.
Just so I'm correct, 405-26D is area of special flood hazard. Remind me to ask you later how you knew that.
I'm looking at it right here.
Well, there's 10 other definitions here.
Yeah, but
okay.
I knew that because of my real estate background.
I'm very impressed that you knew that. Area of special flood hazard. That's what you're specific. Unfortunately, there's not numbers. So we'll, in the future, could you just, when you cite 405, the variance for 405-26 parentheses D.
Yeah.
Could you also just write?
Absolutely.
Area of special flood hazard, so we know what we're talking about.
We will, Mr.
Chairman. So the other part of that is 405-26G. 4, non-residential structures and within zones, this is why I asked, within zones, A is within zones A1-A30, AE, and AH, and also zone A, then the lowest floor, including basement or cellar, has to be elevated 2 feet above the base flood.
Correct.
If it's not in one of those zones, then another section is going to be applicable.
I think, Mr. Chairman, that it's in AE, but I don't want to say that. When I went over the variance criteria with Dennis Larios, this is what we cited to, but I didn't specifically ask him if it was AE. I'm thinking it's AE, but we'll make sure.
In the future, when again you're referring to anything for the variances, if
we
could put if that's what it is. And by the way, staff, Steve, I would like... you looked it up? What is it? AE? It's A. It's not AE.
Yeah, it's over here.
Very good, Steve. Thank you. So we all learned something tonight. Thank you very much. Good job. So it's a zone A, which is that included? Yes, we're in luck. It's included in that section, number 4, of the 2 feet. All right? Now, I want to call your attention, Mr. Moriello and board, that there is a very specific area on the next page, H1 and H2,
that's all A,
that we need to follow
it's coming down to
for a variance procedure. All right? These are very, very specific. Some of them are above my pay grade. So, again, I'm going to need...
What page are you on?
I'm on the next page of... right after this section we're talking about, number 4, turn the page. And right here, variance procedure, H, 14 out of 16. Thank you.
Okay.
So H is a variance procedure for us, the appeals board. And conditions for variances, also, I believe, would be needed to follow very strictly. So this isn't typical. It's very atypical. That's why I say this particular variance is going to need a lot of minds. And you seem to know your way around this, so you're going to be an integral part of it, Steve. Okay? But there is a very, very specific criteria for variance procedure in H1 and H2. And I'm assuming it applies to A, Zone A.
Are you going to need an elevation certificate for that specific area?
Well, Dennis, I think Dennis can. We can certify to what the elevation, the base flood elevation is. We can certainly do that for the board. The intention, though, was not to raise the level of the land above that. These are very narrow areas of incursion, but we can get that.
I'm going to put my, it's my personal opinion, I'm going to put my cards right on the table. Out of all these variances, this absolutely is the most critical and most complex variance. And the number one reason why it is so important is its public safety. I don't think I need to emphasize that to anyone. We're talking about a flood zone. We're talking about people and staircases and elevators, whatever. So we're going to need to pay very, in my opinion, again, very, very astute attention to this variance. To me, this isn't landscaping. Not that landscaping isn't important. This is not landscaping. This is not parking. This is public safety, okay? Because I believe I was told when I asked at what level is it, if it isn't 2 feet, I believe I was told it was at zero, ground zero. Is that correct?
Correct.
Okay.
And Mr. Chairman, too, on the public safety issue, I will talk to Dennis, because when I met with Dennis, I said, what about if it floods? Dennis says that's not an issue, but I will have him I'll have him put it in writing it's not an issue.
Please pass my message to Dennis. It is an issue.
I will.
And that doesn't mean it's not going to be approved.
Yeah.
It's just going to be an issue because there's about 5, 6, 7 pages here that I spent a good part of the afternoon trying to wade through. And
there's no answer to that question.
What question is that?
If it's the public safety question, I realize that too.
So,
you're 100% right. I will have Dennis address that, definitely.
Okay. Why I'm doing this little exercise. That's why I'm doing. What's that? What'd you say?
He's Chris's partner. That's why I wanted Chris to stay here.
Is he your boss?
No,
he's
not.
Okay. Well, you can have a honest and free discussion with him then.
Lario says it's not a problem.
Show the board why it's not a problem.
I'm open.
I got it.
Okay. Now, parking, zoning law section 405-34G.
Yeah, and it's not, Mr. Chairman, it's not even certain if we need an area variance for parking, but I didn't want to leave something. I didn't want to leave something out.
Okay. My only question there is why is it G? I mean, what I'm assuming you're going, and you know what happens when you assume, but I'm assuming that you're going to invoke H for the waiver because you're within 400 feet of a municipal.
Yes, the planning board can waive the requirement, and it's kind of a convoluted requirement because the zoning law requires, you know, these vast parking areas and, you know, all set up, but it wasn't. I think it's written without the idea that this in and of itself is a parking garage. It's not.
Who is going to own the garage? The city of Kingston or the developer?
No, the private developer will own it.
So the language is if it's within 400 feet of a municipally operated off-street parking facility. So we'll let the planning board handle waivers, but excuse me. But my question is, if you need a variance, again, I'm not telling you how to do your job, but I would believe that you need a variance from that section J that basically lists the number of spaces that are required for each room of the hotel, each apartment, and a calculation of how many parking spaces this particular development's going to use. I believe it's 143 units of apartments. If they were all single-bedroom apartments, that's 1.5 spaces for each apartment under J, and one per room with 432-room boutique. You know, we need some kind of quantification as to what J would produce, and I would assume that would be if you're not going to seek the waiver.
We'll provide that too. Dennis is working on that too.
Okay, so I would think that in the future it should be G and J.
Okay.
All right? Just so we're all on the same page of this for the future. Also, while I'm thinking of it, and then I'll let you make your presentation, but I believe you mentioned somewhere in your letter that 7 units of affordable housing have been added to the building. I was under the impression it was 14.
There's 14 units total. There's 7 multifamily units that have been added to the top of the building.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear somebody coughed.
There's 14 units of affordable housing that have been added in total. 7 units have been added to the top of the building, but they are not the affordable housing units. They are just multifamily units. The affordable housing is interspersed throughout structure.
But F says even with the additional 7 units of affordable housing added to the building. That's what your letter says under F.
It should not say affordable housing because not all those are affordable.
Even with the additional
none of those are the affordable units.
Even with
units.
The additional 7 units.
Correct.
Not of affordable.
Should say units of multifamily housing. That's correct. Of multifamily housing.
To be clear, how many units of affordable housing are there?
14 total.
Total.
Yeah.
So it should read multifamily.
And they have to, by law, they have to be interspersed throughout the structure.
So it's 7, even with the additional 7 units of multifamily housing added to the building, the height of the structure will not exceed height limitations.
Correct.
Is that a correct sentence there?
That's correct.
Can I clarify something?
Sure.
Okay. With regard, just going back to the parking part of it, the numbers with regard to parking and the representations by the developer have been quite confusing. So going back to the parking, it would be really wonderful to clarify very specifically what the requirements are for the proposed development.
Absolutely.
On the parking garage so that we know exactly how many spaces are required under the code and how many spaces will then be left that could be considered to be used for municipal parking.
And how much of a variance we're
and that would determine if there's any variance required with regard to parking. So those numbers, I would just love them to stop moving around and be hard and fast based on our code.
Based on J, basically.
What we'll do is they've made a lot of statements about parking and considered it by the planning board at length. But what I'll have them do is I'll have Dennis and the applicant get together and provide an explanation of exactly how many parking spaces will be used for what and where that fits in under the code. We'll get an analysis that says that. I have that right here.
Brian put it perfectly, but as far as I'm concerned, any parking variance is going to rely on J and the number that's produced.
Correct.
Versus what you can provide. That's the variance for parking. Okay, G is a nice paragraph, but it really doesn't mean anything to us, as far as I'm concerned, in terms of a variance.
Yes, and
J is the meat of the zoning code.
Yeah, and like I said, we may actually ask for a waiver, but I didn't want to leave it out of the analysis here. That would be a waiver from the planning board, but I didn't want to leave it out here.
I will let the planning board. Yep. I have enough on my plate. I'll let the planning board handle
but
that one.
To your point, Tony. To your point, even when you apply for the waiver from the planning board, they need to know the specific number of spots you're asking to be waived.
Correct.
So the table that the two gentlemen requested would make sense because it would also help with any future waiver you may need to ask for.
A good point. We will definitely provide that.
So, Mr. Moriello, that's the extent of, I hope I didn't take too much time, but I think we now have a common ground and understanding of what this board will eventually use in determining variances for each of these items that is presented to us. As far as just one other, the landscaping, I don't want to leave that out. I think it would be very good to calculate, since I've read that a large portion of the boundaries are abut other buildings, so there's not going to be able to put the three, the strips in. I'd like to get, personally, a quantification. I guess the point of my whole speech tonight is quantification. I'd like to get quantification of how many feet is not going to be allowed because of the proximity to the other building, not allowed to have landscaping, greenery. You know, maybe it'll be 300 square feet. And then part B of that is, I'd like to see, and I'm tipping my cards a little bit on the variance request, I'd like to see where 300 square feet is added somewhere where the green can be added. Okay, do you see the method to my madness a little bit?
Yes.
Since you make a very poignant case of how you cannot put the greenery, obviously you can't plant plants and brick, but still, I'm going to grant a variance, I'd like to see that amount of square footage somewhere else in the plaza or wherever. Okay?
Dennis calculate that.
He's the partner. He can do that one, and Dennis can do the other, all right?
This is what you get when you don't show up. You get all the work dumped on you.
All right, I don't think it's unreasonable. I mean, that's...
No, not at all, not at all. It's a good request.
All right, so now you have the floor.
We don't have a big presentation because we really kind of made it at the last meeting, and then we did the analysis, if you will, but I think it's a very good point that we should quantify things much better. Our intention tonight was to just try and schedule a public hearing for the matter. That was the only thing we really wanted to try and do, is schedule a public hearing.
schedule a public hearing for the project.
Yeah, which is required
now,
for the area variance.
The only thing I will say about that, and the board can, as I wrote down here, the options, because I was told by Corporation Counsel that that may come up. I have three options here, and it's the board's discretion. You direct me how. Set a date for the special public hearing on the Kingstonian. We could set the date now, but we don't have the room availability. It needs to be checked. We could wait until the planning board decision to set the date or make it for the next regular meeting. If someone else has another option.
I have a question.
Question?
Yeah.
Okay.
Of the applicant. With regard to the addendum, did we cover, this was a modification or an addition to what was originally submitted for the variance, correct?
Yeah, a supplement.
Did we cover all of the changes that are addressed in the addendum or additions?
Yes.
We did?
No.
We covered all the variances of the request.
All right. I just wanted to make sure we got it.
Yeah, I was a little perplexed with the addendum. I thought maybe there was another variance being added, but it's the same variances.
But with different.
Mr. Moriello provided much more
detail
and rationale for why the variances should be granted. So going back to my question on the date for the special public hearing, what do I hear from the board of those options? You want me to say them again, or
what is the planning board decision we're talking about?
The seeker.
The planning board still has not made a determination of significance on seeker, so no board can act to grant any approval until that is done. So, but we can schedule public hearings. So there can't be a vote on a project. There can't be a permit issued. There can't be an approval, but there can be public hearings.
There can be a public hearing because we've had now two meetings, and your variances requests, your future variance requests and presentation are going to be the same. I'm assuming there's not going to be any additions. So
that's correct. And the information that that the board is requesting tonight, we will have for that meeting.
We'll definitely public have hearing.
That. And are we expecting a decision in secret? From the planning board soon?
I have no idea what the planning board's doing.
All right. May I ask a question? One question. Just in regards to seeker, if they do a neg deck, would the applicant then have to work with the planning board to sort of make changes to the project to sort of achieve a pos deck?
How seeker works, there's either a positive declaration, meaning that there's at least one significant.
Oh yeah, I'm sorry, I reversed it. My question reversed it. I'm sorry.
Yeah, if there's a pos deck rendered, you cannot make that a neg deck. That if it's a pos deck, that's what it is. It's a positive declaration. So, you can't mitigate it to a negative declaration.
So if there is a pos deck, and the developer then has to sort of change their plan, per se, any variance that we would have granted would be null?
We're not granting any variance until the planning board makes the seeker.
Yeah,
this is
correct.
For purposes of a public hearing.
I guess, Tony, my thinking is, though, that in terms of scheduling a public hearing, if people are coming to the public hearing to discuss these particular variances, but then if there is a...
There may be other variances.
Then it's sort of like that was a waste of everyone's time.
Well, if there's a...
That's my only concern.
Yeah, I don't think it would be a waste of anyone's time, and if there was...
Much to do with the other.
Well there may be additional... What Owen is saying, I believe, is there... If there's a positive... Then there may be other variances.
There could be other variances, or the plan could change, and then that would be my concern. That's my only concern.
Interpret for me, Owen, your position. What I'm reading is not to schedule a special public hearing until the planning board has made their decision, which I think was one of my options, isn't it? Yes.
Yeah, I guess then.
Until the planning board decision.
I am not
the three options was a public hearing on the Kingstonian, set the date now. We don't know room availability, so if we set a date, we may not have a room. Wait until the planning board decision, then set the date, or make it for the next regular meeting.
Yeah, I'm not a voting member tonight.
You can comment.
But my comment would be is that maybe we should wait for the planning board to make their seeker decision.
What is your feeling, Brian?
I have no problem. I wouldn't schedule a meeting if we don't know whether or not a room's available. That seems to make no sense. So I would have no problem just putting it on the schedule for next month as a public hearing. And if something changes with regard to a secret determination that requires additional variances, they'll come before us and we'll schedule another public hearing.
Okay, so you would schedule it for the next public meeting. John?
I would table it until table it until taken care of by the planning board.
You'd table until the yep. date, same date till the planning board. Mary?
I would table it also.
Yeah, I agree. So, Ari? Oh, I'm sorry.
Same deal.
All right, well, we four of us. Okay, so we're not going to set the date until the planning board makes their decision, and then I think it makes more sense, quite frankly, because then we know what variances we're dealing with if there's a negative or positive declaration. So no date till planning board. All right, so Mr. Moriello, Mr. Zell, any other thing you would like to add this evening?
No, that's it. That's all it. Right, Thank you to the board.
Okay. Thank you for, I think we accomplished a lot, even though it wasn't quite what it was supposed to be on either account. But all right, so what I need.
Good night, Mike.
And please, we're going to need these, since we're going to have a motion, we're going to need these signed. On the Kingstonian, do I have a motion to set a table any decisions? We're tabling any decisions to variances for a future meeting.
To table until the board.
And no, not set meeting. Not set date until planning board. Let me just write it down. Well, I'm talking in the microphone.
But Eric can't hear you.
Table the variances. The motion is to table the variances until future meeting. And not set a date until planning board acts.
And I make a motion.
And that's John. Second.
I'll second.
Brian. All in favor? Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Okay. That's 5-0. All right. Please don't leave until we sign that. These. All right. 127 Green Hill Avenue. Obviously, we need a motion to table until next meeting. Yeah. Thanks. Table until next meeting. Motion. To that effect, please?
Yes.
John?
Second.
Mary, second. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? 5-0. Okay. We'll just stay seated here until everybody signs. I've got which one it is on the top. Okay. Kingstonian's on the top, and Greenkill's on the other. Is this your map, John? Your site plan?
Yes, it is.
Thanks, Brian.
Present. Yes. Keep me posted.
Okay, thanks, John, for everything.
And have a good Christmas.
You too. Enjoy wherever you're going, all right?
Yeah.
Does this make no sense? If this is called for,
motion to adjourn.
Motion to adjourn.
John, second.
You know what I'm saying?
Married. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Thanks, Eric.
Oh, thanks, see, you can have a happy holidays, guys.
7 o'clock.
Happy. Happy holidays. We've got two of these to sign.
Merry Christmas. Mm-hmm.
You too. When are you heading down to Florida?
Tomorrow.
Oh, you're going to spend holidays down there. Nice. I don't know if I could.
I'll take the
Oh, wow. Which is really good. But they don't allow
complex.
It's not
going to
be Venice.
It's going to be what?
It's not
going to
be Venice.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Not on my watch, it isn't.